present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy.
Right, thank you. Now, how much is that?
£3.20 on the clock, sir.
There we are. Keep the change.
Oh, thanks very much. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, hello.
Sorry.
Now, you must be, oh, let me see, Lucy?
Yes.
Is your mother in?
Yes. Mum, there's a man who'd see you.
Coming.
She's just coming.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm late for school.
Oh, it's you.
Hello, Belinda. Can I come in?
Paul? Paul?
Yeah? What is he?
Come down. It's Jack Brotherhood. He's bound to want something.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
In here, Jack.
You never change, dear Belinda.
Not where you're concerned.
They've already been here, in case you don't know, Jack.
Who's they?
Lorimer, is it? From personnel?
Oh, probably.
And Nigel something or other.
Grade A creep.
What were they here for, did they say?
What's it to you?
I don't know what Nigel told you, but I can guarantee it was a load of old codswallop.
They were vetting Magnus for a top appointment, if you must know.
Oh, that's what Nigel told you.
Yes, it is.
Do you believe it?
Don't answer him, darling.
Well, do you?
Come on, Jack. Out. You're welcome any time for a drink, but not for this nonsense. Sorry, but out.
Magnus has jumped ship, Belinda.
Oh, God.
What do you mean?
He's bolted. Nigel and his little band of brothers are after his blood.
And you? What are you after?
Well, he's my man. I'm not quite so enthusiastic as everyone else.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. Are you saying...
Don't bother. They put a muzzle on your editor, same as on everyone else's.
Not another bloody D-notice.
For the moment... But if Nigel has his way, they'll soon be plastering Belinda's previous marriage all over the front page.
Oh, God.
Look, why don't you make us all some coffee, darling, and then get back to work?
You sure?
Mm.
Black, no sugar.
All right. Yell if you need me.
She won't. It's me that needs help.
Well?
You know Magnus's father died.
Nigel Creep told me. Asked me how it might affect Magnus.
And did you express a view? Well...
Magnus always wanted me to shield him from Rick.
Shield him?
Oh, you know, answer the phone for him, say he was abroad when he wasn't, that sort of thing. I sometimes think that's why Magnus joined the firm.
How do you mean?
It was a good hiding place.
From his father?
Hmm. Same as he married me because he was too scared to risk it with Jemima.
Jemima who?
Sefton Boyd.
Oh.
She was a close friend of mine at school. Too damn close, actually.
Could Magnus have gone to her, do you think?
I doubt it. I'm told it's not men she's interested in these days.
Where would he go, Belinda? Who'd have him?
Seth, perhaps? If he was in real trouble, he might go to Kenny Sefton Boyd.
The brother, is that?
Yes.
Hmm. And what about Wentworth?
Wentworth?
Know anyone of that name?
Since my time.
What about Poppy?
Look, Jack, my time ended with his second marriage. If there's a Poppy, that's Mary's bad luck.
When did you last hear from Magnus?
That was what Nigel Creep asked me.
And?
I told him I was married to Magnus for 6 years, there were no kids. It was a mistake. Why should either of us want to relive it?
Magnus didn't phone you. He phoned everyone else that mattered.
Monday.
What time?
Oh, about 11, I should think. I remember because Lucy was late with her homework that night.
Where was he phoning from?
A call box. He didn't say where. At first I thought he was drunk.
And what did he say?
Rick's dead. I wish we'd had a child.
And that's all?
No. He said he'd always hated himself for marrying me. Now he understood himself. And he...
For what?
He loved me for trying so hard.
You tell Nigel that?
It's none of his business, is it?
No. You always were very,
protective?
Mm.
He'd have been all right if he'd never met people like you.
Oh, come on, Belinda.
When he wanted to be free of me, he just handed me the latchkey and went to a lawyer. But if he wanted to be free of you...
Coffee? Genuine Blue Mountain, Jack? Then you raise that rubbish. There.
I won't stay, actually. Thanks all the same.
Well, suit yourself.
Didn't Magnus ever write that book he was always on about?
Which book was that? The great autobiographical novel that was going to change the world.
One day I'm going to lock myself away and tell the truth. That's what he said.
Lock himself away where, exactly?
Oh, God knows. Scotland, Canada, Lapland.
Lapland?
Mm. He had some weird idea of seeing the migration of the reindeer. He had these fantasies, you know. He chopped them up and fed different pieces to different people.
Where would you look for him, Belinda, if you were me?
Someplace by the sea. Wherever he is, it'll be somewhere by the sea.
After Vienna, Graz, and National Service, there was London. And what?
Are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be? What is it, Miss D? Is something wrong?
You do think so, Mr. Canterbury. You ground your teeth, and a little while ago I think you were humming.
Was I?
We thought you were ill.
We?
Toby and me.
Oh, the cat.
Well, of course the cat. Did you think I had a lover, you silly man? Do you know what time it is, Mr. Canterbury? It's 5 in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I keep you awake?
That's quite all right. But you really should get some sleep.
Yes.
However much the country needs you, it can always wait another day.
Yes, you're right, Miss D. After Vienna and National Service, there was London and what? I was facing a future full of question marks. And, almost inevitably, I drifted back to my old alma mater and the Oxford appointments board.
Sherry, Pim?
Thank you, sir.
Well, have you considered a career in industry?
Industry would be fine.
Oh, you like having grease up to your elbows.
But it doesn't worry me, actually.
How about eating with the crew? Like the crew, do you?
I'm not particularly class conscious, sir.
Charming. There. I hope Tio Pepe suits.
Perfectly. Thank you.
Oh. Now, let's think what we might offer you, Pim. A menial librarianship at the British Museum, perhaps? A sort of third assistant clerkship to the House of Commons? And a few bits and bobs in Kenya, Malaya, the Sudan, etc.? Do you like abroad, or hate it?
Abroad is super. I was at university in Bern.
I thought you were up here, among the dreaming spires.
Here as well.
Like adventure, do you?
Love it, actually.
A little frisson of danger to spice the dreary day?
Absolutely.
And will you give unquestioning allegiance to whoever is rash enough to employ you?
I will.
And adore your country, right or wrong, so help you God and the Tory party?
I will again. I swear it.
And do you also believe that to be born British is to be born a winner in the great lottery of life?
Well, yes. That too, to be honest.
Then join the firm.
What firm?
The firm. Be a spy, dear boy.
What's this?
And what does it look like?
An application form.
I believe you know Jack Brotherhood.
Yes. Yes, I do.
He sends his love and says, why the hell haven't you been in touch with him instead of wasting your time applying for jobs you were never cut out for?
Perhaps I shouldn't have been surprised. Here was Jack pulling the strings again, reeling me in like a hooked fish and landing me in front of a selection board, which he had almost certainly primed beforehand.
Any more questions, anyone?
Perhaps Pym would like to tell us about his father. A rather colourful character, by all accounts.
And Fred is a bit too colourful at times, sir. I don't see a lot of him, to be honest.
Well, still friends, though, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
We can't hold Pym responsible for the sins of his father, can we?
I do rather steer clear of him, actually.
Quite so.
I understand you're by way of being a Czech, but speak the language and so on.
Well, I get by, I suppose.
So what do you think about all these purges they're having over there, eh?
I think they're appalling, sir. It's a rotten system that can only survive by the exercise of oppression.
Yes, yes, but what would you do about it?
In what capacity, sir?
As one of us.
As an officer in this service, Pim.
Well, I think I'd play their game, sir. Divide them against themselves.
How?
Spread rumour, false accusations, suspicion, let dog eat dog.
You mean you wouldn't mind getting innocent chaps trapped into prison by their own police?
Not if it shortens the life of the system.
A bit harsh, isn't it?
No, sir. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm by no means convinced these innocent chaps are all that innocent. They're not fighting the system. They're only trying to make it more acceptable to themselves.
Well said, then. Mm.
In life, we rarely end up doing the thing we do best. What my best was, I shall never know, because I accepted the firm's offer without hesitation and then made an offer of my own to Belinda, which she also accepted without hesitation.
And how do you intend to keep your charming bride in the style to which she is accustomed, Magnus?
It's Magnus, actually.
Ah, well, I'm only a management trainee.
But he's got tremendous prospects.
Yes, oh, yes, we're exporting to Eastern Europe, the Iron Curtain country. Oh. Tremendous potential.
How fascinating.
So, Peter, your parents couldn't be here.
Yes, isn't it?
Lovely wedding. Don't happen to know where they've hidden the bubble, is it?
Awful. Where is he then? Oh, where's that boy of mine?
Oh, my God.
Who is it?
Rick.
Ah, there you are. Hello, old son. Well, don't you recognize your old pal?
Hello.
Well, aren't you going to introduce me to the bride?
Linda,
this joke's fun. She's a beauty.
Magnus, who is this?
Come here, my dear.
What?
Give your old father-in-law a big kiss.
Oh, my father-in-law?
Magnus, you are a lucky chap. Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please?
Not now, Dad.
I may have come a little late to the feast, but I would like to address a few words to you on this most auspicious of occasions.
Uh-oh.
Just a few, because this is their day, and when two young people love each other, us old uns who have had our day should stand well aside.
I remember little now of that speech, except that it was beautiful and modest and free of all his usual hyperbole. And he finished by ushering us both outside to bestow his wedding present on us, a brand new Jaguar XK15 with Mr. Cudlove, dear old Cuddy at the wheel.
Well, Belinda, Magnus, what do you think of it? Supreme example of British engineering genius.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it, Magnus?
Super.
It's your old man's gift to both of you. Dear old Cuddy's going to drive it wherever you want to go. It's yours. And nobody will ever take it from you as long as God spares me.
But when the time came for Belinda and me to leave the reception, two very obvious plainclothes detectives were asking questions of a very confused hotel manager. And both dear old Cuddy and the supreme example of British engineering genius had quietly disappeared. My new bride and I had to leave in the official wedding car. We had hardly settled in our seats when a complete stranger leaned in after us and gave us the best, the very best present of all.
These for you, please, madam. Flower.
Oh, thank you.
Is to bring special good fortune, all of this.
They're beautiful, thank you. Who was that?
God knows.
There was no card.
No, there wouldn't be.
They're absolutely beautiful, aren't they? And very unusual.
They were beautiful. The most beautiful poppies I'd ever seen. Once the honeymoon was over, I settled quickly into a new routine. Wedded bliss, punctuated by regular trips behind the Iron Curtain.
Sestonio Clary.
Thank you.
Anglican? English?
Yes.
Magnus Richard Pym. For what you're come to Czechoslovakia?
Business.
What business?
Electrical. Alternators, oscillators. That sort of thing, you know?
No, Rosamine.
Name it all.
I have an official appointment to visit a factory in Saskonitsa.
Saskonitsa? Co je to, člověče?
No přece Magnus Richard Pinje pozval na návštěvu našeho podniku v Saskonicích.
On this occasion, I had an unofficial appointment with one of the firm's dead letter boxes at PSEC, 19 kilometers to the northeast. And by the time I arrived at my hotel, I felt flat and bored, as I usually did on the firm's business.
Vaši jméno, prosím.
Pym. P-Y-M.
Okamžik. Podepište, prosím.
Stop!
What's it?
What
is it? What's going on? As you wish.
Magnus, Richard, Pym.
Yes.
Silence! Take the word! What? Answer your head, you freshest thing! Probably not!
You? Who says?
Magnus, Richard, Pym.
You are charged with crimes of espionage, provocation, and incitement to treason.
But that's rubbish.
Yes, it's done. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Gusto. I'll let this help out. Controllo.
Officer, Provedo.
This is an outrage. I demand to see a British consul immediately.
Do not make any fuss over Irish ritual. In the back.
Very painful, Sir Magnus.
Probably would. I'll let you never. Was it me?
Oh, Rosalind, so true. Provedo.
That's confused. We will listen at 10th Valu.
Your oyster.
Neither of us spoke a word as Axel pushed me out of the hotel and into a battered old Skoda which was parked outside. I supposed he was taking me to the police headquarters, but instead, he drove out into the Czech countryside.
This is scandalous. My government will insist that those responsible be severely punished.
Save your breath, Sir Magnus. The car is not bugged. I think perhaps you believe my little performance, huh?
You mean you're not arresting me?
Oh, Sir Magnus, would I do that to you?
It's good to see you again, Axel.
For me also, Sir Magnus. But you make it damned difficult to be your friend.
I don't see why.
Ah, you don't see why, by God. Even the poor Czechs can look at their card index. And what do they see? The bold Sir Magnus, who applies for a business visa now, is the same Sir Magnus who was a fascist spy in Austria. Oh. Also that a certain running dog called Axel was his fellow conspirator. Why, in God's name, couldn't you use an alias?
They said it's better being me.
Ah.
They call it natural cover.
Aye. Sometimes I think you have been put on earth to be my black angel.
Funny. I've always thought of you as my guardian angel.
So I am, Sir Magnus, so I am. But it is dangerous to know you. By God, damned dangerous.
We drove on until dusk, when Axel stopped the car at an old hunting lodge. We were obviously expected. There was a fire blazing in the hearth, and a table laid out with a tray of black bread and gherkins, the familiar bottle of vodka, just as it used to be in the barn in Austria.
Prosit.
Prosit.
They want me to blackmail you, Sir Magnus.
Who do?
The aristos I work for. They have photographs of us together, coming out of that barn in Austria, tape recordings of our conversation.
Can I put some more logs on this fire?
Sure. Put them all.
And what if I refuse to be blackmailed?
They will hang you. They will be sorry because you are not American, but they will make a big show trial and hang you.
I see.
God knows what they will do to me.
Why?
Have you never read George Orwell?
Yes.
These are people who can rewrite yesterday's weather. I may already be fatally contaminated by you.
What a mess.
We have to get ourselves out of it. Do you understand? We must help each other. Look after each other's careers. And this time we do it properly. No shrinking back.
When did I ever shrink from anything?
Come, Sir Magnus. You have, in the past, betrayed me. But more important, you have also betrayed yourself.
He spoke without irony or bitterness, about loyalty in a disloyal world, my world and his, about ideals in an immoral society, my society and his, and about love in the loveless order of things.
What I am saying, Sir Magnus, is that for once, nature has produced a perfect match. You are a perfect spy. All you have ever needed is a cause. I can give it to you. Prosit.
Prosit. So,
What do we do?
Suppose... just suppose that on a lonely drive to Pilsen, Mr. Magnus, you stopped your car to give a couple of workers a lift. You would do that, wouldn't you?
I might.
And if, as you drove along, these two fellows confided to you their fears of handling radioactive material without sufficient protective clothing, you would prick up your ears.
I would indeed.
And would you not also write down their names and addresses so that next time you visited this region, you could bring them a pound or two of good English coffee?
I do exactly that.
Good. And now, having driven these fellows to the outer perimeter of the protected area where they work, Sir Magnus, you would surely have the courage and initiative to photograph the factory from a convenient nearby hill.
In broad daylight?
From a thicket of lime trees, whose lower branches you will later discover have slightly marred the picture.
Ah.
Your aristos would admire your enterprise, yes?
Probably.
They would applaud the great Sir Magnus.
They would certainly give me a pat on the back.
Good.
And encourage me to recruit the workers in an effort to find out more about the factory.
Congratulations, you have just taken the first step on the ladder to promotion.
I still have to take the film.
I have it here, Sir Magnus. It is taken already.
Thank you. This film?
Yes.
It's the firm's own issue.
Of course. I swear I will look after your career as you must look after mine. Here is my hand on it.
And mine.
You're a good man, Sir Magnus, and I love you.
I shall never forget that touch of his hand. Dry and decent and forgiving. Axel was my friend again.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Brotherhood.
Oh, that's what it is, isn't it?
Any minute now. Yeah, sign in if you wouldn't mind, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. And the others in,
yeah? Yeah, some time ago, sir. They went straight up to join Mr. Frankel in communications.
Ah.
Be surprised to see him this early in the morning, tell the truth.
For goodness sake, Beau, why didn't you sit down?
They're his people, damn it. He should be here.
He will be.
After all, he's the one who's been agitating to pull them up.
I know.
So where the devil is he?
Well, don't worry. He'll be here. Though I doubt he'll like what he hears.
Oh, where have you been?
Good morning, Jack.
Morning. How's it going?
Any joy yet?
Not looking so good.
Why? What's happening?
Tell him, Frankel.
Prague station phone agent watchman yesterday. Number engaged 5 times out of 5.
Okay, forget watchman. What about the others?
Agent Congo de Trag.
And?
Number out of order. Midday, station sent a girl they own to canteen where Congo's daughter goes to eat. No daughter. She checked attendance sheet at factory gate. Congo's daughter not present. Not sicklisted, vanished like into thin air.
Any more?
Agent Merriman. 7 o'clock yesterday morning, Prague station put two boys to men telegraph Tolden Street, where Merriman lived. Instead of cul-de-sac. No other way out. Merriman not there. Car not there. Nix. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, boys are bright. Good boys. They phone Merriman at laboratory with bad news. Papa Merriman is very ill, suddenly. Like dying. Laboratory say, Merriman don't come in today. Going to Brno for special high-level conference.
Bollocks.
Yes, George. My reaction, absolutely.
State laboratories don't give out details of staff movements. They just don't. They're top-secret installations, for Christ's sake.
You want us to go on? With already such problems, we instruct Budapest to reach Agent Voltaire direct.
And?
Agent Voltaire is sick.
Voltaire's never had a day's sickness in his life.
It is just possible, Jack.
Never.
Ministry says he's sick. Wife says he's sick. Mistress says he's sick. Everybody say the same. He eats some bad mushrooms. He's sick. Official.
I say it's official.
Conga on the line, sir.
Thank God for that.
Conga ready to send. Stand by.
Conga's operator is online. Now, watch the red light left, please. It burns. He's talking, see?
Ah, yes.
Hey.
What the hell's happened?
Transmission abruptly out. Rewinding.
Into decoder at once, please.
What is it, Frankel? A fault at the other end?
It's possible. Wait, please.
Maybe his mind was on the blink.
Ah, now we'll see.
Not very long, was it?
Accelerate is the Morse code, Jack. All tape and no handwriting.
Let's just be grateful he's alive.
Sure. In a minute he comes through again. No problem.
Here, let's see then. Yeah,
and tell him to print another copy, will you, Frankel? Then we can all have a look. What's it say, Jack?
Routine intelligence report. Subject restationing of Soviet missile bases in the mountains north of Pilsen. Message reads, Subsource Talleyrand confirms empty low loaders leaving... That's it.
Was dropped. Mid-sentence.
It's obviously Winder. Unless signal, then maybe hit free condition. Send your signal garbled.
Your signal garbled. Roger.
Tell them we want a rerun, Frankel. Tell them we want a roll call of the entire network.
Tell them to go and jump in the lake.
Jack.
It won't make a heap of a difference.
It's the strain, though. They're his Joes.
They're not my Joes. They never were. Oh. Look, when this service catches someone else's Joe, if it ever does these days, what do? We play him back.
If he's willing to be played.
And if he's not?
We send him to the Tower.
And if we do play him back, we do it as naturally as possible so that the opposition will believe nothing has changed, right?
I suppose so.
We don't allow him or his daughter or his car or any bloody thing else to just vanish into thin air.
No.
We don't invent fatuous stories about bad mushrooms. We don't sandbag radio operators in the middle of high-speed transmissions. And that's the very last thing we do. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless we want the opposition to know we're rolling up their networks.
But why would anyone want that? Explain, please, Jack.
Because they invented the networks. They paid the actors. They wrote the script. They own the networks from day one.
No.
Just as they own Pym from day one. And damn near own me, too.
If that were the case, Jack, why bother to tell us anything at all?
Because they want us to think they've got Pym when they haven't. They want us to call off the hunt and go home to tea. That's the only good news of the day, though. Pym is still on the run. And they want him as much as we do.
That was part 6 of A Perfect Spy, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. Jack Plath featured as Axel, Malcolm Tierney as Rick, Sally Grace as Belinda, and Julian Ryan Tutt as the young Magnus. Paul was played by Gareth Armstrong, Lucy by Rebecca Cullen, the Professor by John Carlin, the Chairman by Colin Pinney, the Colonel by Dominic Letts, a Wedding Guest by Gilly Mears, a Czech Border Guard by Gerton Klauber, Czech Security Officer by Peter Meyer, Nigel by Royce Mills, Beau Brammel by John Nettleton, and Frankel by Alexei Yevdokimov. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.